Good morning. And may I say, Happy Mother's Day. That is so not sufficient. So let's try that again. Happy Mother's Day! This is a very special year for us. As Matthew has already told you, our daughter Jill is graduating tomorrow from law school, and our other daughter Sarah is blessing us in October with our first grandchild. So this Mother's Day, I am a grandma. I'm not there yet, but that's all right, because there's a woman right back there, and it's my mom, and now she's going to be great-grandma. So she one-upping me. Hi, Mom. I would just like to invite all the moms in the house, if you would, to please stand. You to just look around. The song talks of seasons in life, and this is the seasons of life. Amen. Let us pray together, ladies. Our Father God, we thank you for these women. We thank you for the offering that they have given to their children, to their families, to their homes, to their work, to everywhere they go. Father God, we ask your blessings to be upon them in an extraordinary way. Give them just pure, utter joy, not just today, but bits of joy throughout, through the good and through the bad, Lord. Just bless them with your presence. Holy Spirit, rain down upon them. Father God, thank you for the gifts that they are to this world. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. So we are in the middle of, well, actually, we're at the end of the Why series. And the original question that was set before us to look at this weekend is simply this: why do my prayers go unanswered? Well, now, Pastor Matthew has addressed this in previous sermons, so I am going to achieve something that he never has. I am going to give you the entire sermon, the entire answer, in less than 1 minute. Are you ready? Okay. Why do my prayers go unanswered? They don't. They get answered four different ways. If you know them, say it along with me. First one is no. God says no. We don't like this answer, so we prefer to think he's just not listening. Second answer would be slow. Say it with me. Slow. And that is simply God saying, it's my timing, not yours. I am God, you are not. I am with you, but slow down. Next, the answer might be grow. God says, I got your back, but you're not ready for the answer. Let's worship together. Let's look at my word together. Let's grow together. And then lastly, and the most favorite is, that was lame. Go. And that is the favorite answer. So there you go. That's the answer to your why questions. Let's all head to Waffle House. Pastor Matthew is buying. There is a reason why we, on a consistent basis, address these why questions of the world. Because believers and unbelievers are asking them. And where better for them to get the answers than in this church, in amongst the family of God. Amen? But I challenge you this morning, let's turn the tables. Because here's the deal. We can go to God and ask all these questions. Why hypocrites? Why so much suffering? Why mosquitoes? I don't understand that one. But what if we were to go to God and say, I tell you what, God, if you were creating a message series, what questions would you have of us? Now, perhaps some of his questions might be, why sushi when I gave you fire? Somebody has got to amen that, because I don't get it. Or maybe my new favorite is, why Batman versus Superman? I gave you two superheroes to save the world, and only we could sick them on each other. Don't get that. But in all seriousness, maybe the questions of God might be, why so angry? More and more, why so angry? Why can't you see my miracles? I'm performing them every day. Why aren't you acknowledging them? Why not worship? Why do you seem embarrassed to know me? And perhaps if we go back to the whole question of prayer, perhaps his question of us might be twofold. Maybe the first question would be, all right, I'm hearing your prayers. Now, what is at the heart of your prayers? What is the core of your prayers? Or perhaps the question is, here's a thought. Who are you in the midst of my answers? I remember when prayers were easy. I remember when my dad, who's sitting right over there, started a church, St. Andrew's, out in Brandon, Florida. We didn't have a building as of yet, or we were starting to have one. I don't know. I was like five. I didn't know. But we had vacation Bible school along a road, and it was a series of carports. And we went from carport to carport for vacation Bible school. And I remember going and learning a prayer that has stayed with me forever. Thank you, God, for this dear home, for father and mother and milk and bread and jam to spread and share with one another. Amen. Prayers were easy. And then we got older. And life happened. And our prayers evolved. And perhaps God now looks at us and asks the question or says to us, so now what's the nature of your prayers? Now, what is your heart? See, if I ask myself something, I'm going to challenge myself by first saying, Maisie, am I praying with a childlike, grateful heart? In other words, God says, when was the last time you just said thank you? We have a fairly new senior high youth pastor here, John Michael. And he has the most precious little girl, Lily Grace. And they, silly people, built a house within walking distance of his boss and his pastor. And so we walked down to their house a few weeks ago, and as we got there, Lily Grace was waking up, and there she is in all of her glory. And she comes out of her house from a nap, and she immediately goes to her favorite toy, dirt. And not just any dirt, we find out this is, in fact, her favorite dirt. And for about 15 minutes, Lily Grace and I got down on our hands and knees. At one point, she just spread herself on out, and we just drew in the dirt and played in the dirt. And I thought to myself, this sweet little girl prays for nothing more than dirt. And she finds joy in the midst of it. As a child, our prayers, our wants, our desires are innocent, full of trust and hope, and then we get old. So what words are we praying these days? And again, who are we in the midst of the answers? You know, one of my favorite new staff members around here, I've known her for a while, and you probably know her. She's the head of our missions and outreach team here, Kara Kennedy. And she is a contagious spirit. I mean, I like to sit next to her in hopes that the positive just like rubs off on me. And I just know that if one day God rained down and just rained dirt outside, Kara would be the first one to run out the door and go, "Ah, what can we plant?" Now, that is not a natural tendency for me. But with Kara, it is a childlike habit. I read somewhere the other day, if we're not thankful for what we do have, then why should God give us more to complain about? After all, Philippians says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Perhaps I would ask myself as well, am I pridefully praying alone? Now let me begin by saying, I believe from the bottom of my heart, I mean wholeheartedly, in the intimacy of one-on-one time with God. It is a necessity for each one of us in all seasons, in all stages, to have that intimate relationship with Jesus. But, we were never meant to be lone people of faith. We were never meant to be lone prayers. We were never called to be lone martyrs, refusing to let anyone in. People, that's pride. That's arrogance. That is downright sin. Mother Teresa had her sisters. Billy Graham has crews of prayer teams all over the world praying for him. Pastor Matthew has his Jenga brothers of 20-some-odd years. I myself have my own slate of prayer warrior women that I text and I call and I email for prayer on a constant basis. With whom are you surrounding yourself in prayer? Who are your spiritual warriors, your confidants of prayer? Perhaps I would ask myself this question. Am I praying with a forgiven and a forgiving heart? Mark 11:24 says, I tell you, you can pray for anything. And if you believe that you've received it, it will be yours. But when you are praying, first forgive anyone you are holding a grudge against, so that your Father in heaven will forgive your sins too. I don't like that. I'm going to move on. Ephesians 4 says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, and all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has repeatedly forgiven me and you. Again, I don't like this one. So if you could take this and make it deeper message later on, I'm moving on. Perhaps I would ask myself this question. Do my prayers acknowledge that God is God and God is good? I saw this written on Facebook the other day, and it's written by a pretty notable author, Lisa Turquist, and she simply says this: God is good at being God. Don't try to fix what He hasn't assigned you to fix. Don't try to manipulate or control or spend all your emotions trying to figure it out. Let God be God. Now, here's what I find kind of interesting. On Facebook, there were tons of likes on this. There is nothing profound to this statement. Truly. I mean, it's great. It's well said. It's well written. It's a great reminder of people what we already know. And that is that we have a tendency to be control freak mortals. We do. And we must embrace the scripture, Mark 8:35, that says, if you try to hang on to your life, I promise you, you will lose it. You will lose it in some realm or another. The message actually says, and I like this, anyone who intends to come with me has to let me lead. because you are not in the driver's seat. I am. See, if we drain ourselves trying to preserve, trying to control what only God can renew, we will have nothing left to give. But if we go to the source prayerfully, daily, we will have love and grace to offer the world around us. The song goes, and again as a child, I am weak, but say it, he is strong. Back about 7 years ago, I guess, maybe longer, many of you who are with us at the time, you know that we lost Matthew's father. About a year later, around this time, we lost Matthew's mother. And then in that year that followed, we lost seven more family members, including our dog, including our 21-year-old nephew, my uncle, cousin, most notably my sister. And you talk about control. I remember for the 11 days that my sister was in the hospital, and I remember for about the first 5 or 6 days, I just remember going and thinking, okay, God, I'm here now. How do I fix this? Okay, God, how do I lead this? Okay, God, how do I nourish my parents and help them get through this? Okay, God, how do I look at my daughters and help them to understand what is happening to their aunt that they love so much? Okay, God, what do I do? God, I'm... And then there was a moment in time when I came home from the hospital and I walked in the door and I sat down on the steps of our house and I lost it. And there was almost an audible voice that said, okay, now how about you let me? You see, God is good, even when the circumstances all around you just royally stink. God is good, even when the people around you are horrible. God is good even when it feels like the world is falling apart and the devil is winning. Let me tell you, he is not, he will not. God is good because God is God, and it is not in his nature to be otherwise. And so I ask myself one more question. Am I praying miracles or motivation? See, different circumstances, situations call for different prayers, perhaps. And we believe here at Van Dyke, we believe and we have personally witnessed the power of miracles. Miracles of provision, miracles of healing. We have miracles going on right now in the lives of one of our very best friends who's on staff here. A miracle of healing. Miracles occur daily. But sometimes I believe our prayers need be those of motivation. You see, some of my greatest spiritual growth has come when God has taken life's circumstances and thoroughly cleaned me out. I just thought God wasn't listening. But God was more than listening. He was turning, as Pastor Matthew has preached over the last 2 weekends, he was simply taking my mess and transforming it into a message for him. See, I know that the enemy is on a full-out attack against everything good, everything sacred, everything pure, everything honest. And that is not a crazy mom or a senile preacher's wife talking. I mean, well, it is. But this is biblical. Satan is the father of lies, people, who wants us to believe that if our circumstances fall apart, then so should we. And more than anything else, he wants our children to believe the same. Moms in the house, dads in the house, grandmas, teachers, leaders, Sunday school teachers in the house. Hear me and hear me well. Teach your children to pray. Teach your children to pray, even if it's just a blessing over the food that grows into, teach your children to pray. Because I believe that his number one goal, the Satan's number one goal, is to disrupt, disengage, and distract from the power of prayer. And God says, ask me for more than just a miracle. Ask me for motivation. You see, a mountain is before you. If it's not there now, it has been there or it will be. And a mountain stands before you, and sometimes we pray that God move the mountain, and sometimes that miracle of faith occurs. Oh, I like those. And sometimes we stand before the mountain and we pray that God move the mountain, and then we just stand there and stare at the mountain. And sometimes we pray that God move the mountain and we figure out it ain't going nowhere. So we begin the journey around the mountain, hopefully with God, sometimes without God. But at least we're moving forward, and that may very well be God's pathway for us. But sometimes we pray that God move the mountain, and God is just yearning to take us to the top of the mountain. And the road will be hard, and the path will be damaging to you. But God is God. And this is where motivational prayer comes in. We have to pray more than miracles, because we have to pray that the power of the Holy Spirit gives us the energy we need, the attitude that is necessary, the grace of Jesus Christ to climb that mountain. And you know what happens when you climb that mountain with Jesus? You arrive at the mountain top. But here's the deal. Why doesn't God answer prayer? We have to understand, people, that praying in the name of Jesus is not like stroking Aladdin's lamp any more than this is a crazy eight ball. Oh. No, slow, grow, go. It doesn't matter the answer. What matters is that we know God is in control. I'm going to invite Melissa and the team to come back up. And as we continue to worship together, I simply want to remind you of these words of God that are prayers unto themselves. God says in your prayers, fix your thoughts, fix them on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Because as we climb that mountain, as we walk that desert, as we tread the path of God in joy, in sorrow, know this: God gives power to the weak, strength to the powerless, and we will soar high on wings like eagles, because we will run and not grow weary. We will walk and not faint. So when you feel like God isn't listening, know this: it is well. Say that: it is well. When you think that God isn't answering, know this: it is well. And whether the day is bright or the mountain is high, know this: it is well. This is one of my favorite songs. But this is not just a sweet little song. This is a proclamation of faith that all is well. This is not just a requirement for beautiful Melissa to sing. This is a calling out that we, as the family of God, the Church of Van Dyke, acknowledge with our voices, with our heart, our mind, our soul, and strength together: it is well. So I challenge you to stand where you are. And we are going to do more than sing this together. And I don't care what kind of voice you have. Neither does God. He gave it to you, let it go. But we are going to sing knowing that it is well. And you can choose to stay where you are and sing from there. You may choose to come and bend a knee and sing while you pray. You may choose to just move forward. The youth do it all the time. And come together as a united spirit to proclaim that all is well. You may choose to seek people in the room to give them comfort. Whatever it is, let us unite together in this prayer.